told you, we're going to do for Tzadi Beis, we're going to do some simple cases to summarize the halacha there of applications in order to bring us back into the world of the halachas of Basar B'Challev. On Sunday, I'll do Tzadi Gimel. On Wednesday, I'll do Tzadi Dalid, and then Sunday and Monday, I'll do Tzadi Hey, and Sunday and Wednesday, I'll do Tzadi Hey and Tzadi Vav. That will put us very close to the end. Then we do four Shirim on Melicha, and two or three on Shechita. The Shechita, you can already get the questions to, they're not tied to the Shirim. They're just, you do your homework, you just take the Shulchan Aruch and you look up the answers, you follow, they follow straight through. I'll tell you exactly what Simanim they're based on. It forces you, create yourself an outline, to review the major Inyanim in Shechita. You'll profit from it, okay? Now, so let's go through some cases related to Tzadi Beis, as I said I would do last time, okay?
Is there a second half of the Basar B'Challev questions?
No, not yet. Right, I generally see how you do in the first half, and then we'll see what we do in the second. Okay. Were they tough? Okay.
And you'll send me the Shechita stuff.
The Shechita you can already get. The Shechita's from last year. It's a pretty good summary. Basically, you just look up the question. You just look for it. The Taz says this. What does he say on this? If you know that, you know the Rashi Prakim of Shechita, which, by the way, is not done in every shir here, so you'll be the better person for it. All right? Let's take milk falls into a pot of hot meat that has soup in it or stew or gravy. And when I say hot, I mean yad so lettuce bow. Okay? General rule. If there's 60 times the amount of milk that fell in, everything that's mutter, everything that's in the pot is mutter. Okay? Meat falls into a pot of milk. If there's 60 times the meat, then all the milk is mutter after you remove the meat. There's no inyan for us, generally, of Kadam Vasi Lake, remember that we spend so much time on, because we don't hold, like Rashi, that Mim Bimino is us. Remember we had that whole inyan of the Mifla Bala Miflat Lo Pali, remember? That it only absorbs and it doesn't polate. Whatever is Muvla in the meat from the milk doesn't come out until the pot stops boiling, right? Or until the pot cools, okay? Remember that, so for Rashi, there was an inyan of Kadam Vasilek, right? Or for anybody who holds her, for Rav, there was an inyan of Kadam Vasilek, because he would hold that Mim Bimino was Asur B'Mashu. And if the meat absorbed the milk, and then the milk was Miflat back into the pot, then it would be us. Then you have Chalav Shel Neveilah, and be us or Mim Bimino B'Mashu. We don't have such an inyan. Now, you'll definitely remember, if you think back, that we discussed the Kasha the Tosfos. Remember the Kasha the Tosfos, that it's a Davar HaNireh Le'Einayim? When you put vegetables into boiling water, the water turns green, right? Or turns the color of the vegetables, right? The water changes color immediately when you put it in. So how could we say Mivla Bala Miflat Lo Palit? And we saw the answer, the Teirutz of Rabbeinu Tam. We saw Rabbeinu Shmuel, but we finally settled on the Teirutz of Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos, that it, what it means, Mivla Bala Miflat Lo Palit, as long as the thing is boiling, right, means that it doesn't polate what it was boleya. It's polate itself immediately, but it doesn't polate what it was boleya. Therefore, that's why the Gemara had to say Mivla Bala Miflat Lo Pali, meaning that the milk that the meat absorbs isn't re-exuded into the pot until it stops boiling. Therefore, Kadam Vasilek, you have no inyan of Chalav Nevela in Chalav in general. Remember? Just trying to ease you back in to the world of Hanan. Okay? Now, Rabbeinu Tam, though, still remains, still has a little place in the Lashon of the Mechaber. Even though we are matir min b'mino barov. Remember, the Mechaber says, Bamed Varim Amurim. When can we rely on Te'imas Oveid Kohavim? B'shekadam v'hotzi achaticha kodem shetiflo chalav shebala. Dehainu kodem shetanuach al yore miratifa. Avalim lo he speak l'salko ad shetuchal liflo tachalav shebala afal pi shetamo oveid kohavim. In other words, for the Mechaber, there's a nafkamina to the idea of Kadam Vasilek, even though he doesn't hold Min Bimino either. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is he relies on taste. If Lo Kadam Vasilek and Chalav Nevela that had been absorbed by the meat got into the thing, then you couldn't be Somech on Ovei Kochavim. So for him, you'd have to be Somech then only on Shishin. For the Ramah, where there's no Inyan, that we know something, like we saw in the very beginning of Tzadi Ches, that there's no Inyan of Somchim Anochri in our day, then therefore, there's no Nafkamina from Rabbeinu Tam. But there's a Nafkamina from Rabbeinu Tam, from the Mechaber, as to whether or not you can rely on Te'imas Oveid Kochavim in a case where the milk fell onto the meat. Okay? With me? Even if there's no inyan of min b'mino. Okay? So that's our first couple of cases. Everybody with me? Okay? How about if the milk fell onto one piece and not into the gravy or the soup? We spent a lot of time in the sugya. Let's make it clear. We saw the opinion of the Ri, remember? That a piece of meat that's mitzasa betocha rotev is as if it's kula berotev, remember? Why does it make a difference if it's like it's kula berotev? As to whether or not the whole contents of the pot could be mitzareif levatel. So, if, according to the Ri, a drop of milk fell onto a piece of meat that's mitzasa betocha rotev, even if it fell on the upper half that is outside of the rotev draws it through, the heat of the pot draws it through the piece of meat and out into the whole pot, and it's mitzareif, as if it fell into the soup itself. Because chaticha shemitzasa betocha rotev kikula barotev. That was the Ri. We saw, however, Rashi, who holds that afilu mitzasa tocha rotev ein hakol mitzarek l'shishi. It has to be kula betocha rotev in order for it to be mitzarek l'shishi, and fell in the drop of meat. So wait a minute. How could it, we're going to take a few examples, l'halacha, okay? How could it be that it fell on a piece of meat alone and not into the marak or into the gravy if the piece of meat is completely submerged in the, so we said that that case was where panav paneha ha'olyonos megulos, right? The upper surface. So here's the surface of the gravy. Here's the piece of meat. It's kula betoch, right? But because of this adhesion principle, right, it doesn't go over it because it's just level with it, okay? And therefore, this is all that's showing, and the drop fell there, okay? Now, the question is, according to Rashi, is that, would he be moda, is that like this, where part of it's in the rotev? Or would he be moda that this is like that? Okay? Rashi only draws the following distinction, a binary distinction. It's either this or it isn't. For Rashi, this is like that. So it's either this or nothing. Except there's a case, and I know this is very helpful to people that are listening, okay? All right, so I should have like, we'll have to have in the future years, we'll have to have like a video, you know? Okay, but anyway, what I'm doing is I'm using the my trio as a piece of meat and using the table as the level of the gravy.
So if it's partially submerged.
So for Rashi draws the following distinction. And he says, only if it's entirely in the gravy does hakol mitzaref. If it fell on part of the meat that was outside the gravy, either because partially it was outside the gravy or it was completely outside the gravy, it doesn't matter. Ein hakol mitzaref. So we now said that there's an intermediate case, and this will help you understand some of the nosei kelim there in the Shulchan Aruch. There's an intermediate case that Rashi doesn't make explicit. And that's when it's submerged completely in the gravy, except the upper face of it, the outside, think of a cube of meat, is level with the gravy but not covered by the gravy. So the gravy goes up to the top edge. Think of a completely rectangular piece of meat or a square cube of meat. So the gravy goes up and there's only one facet of the piece of meat is exposed, and that's where the drop of meat, the drop of milk fell. So now we have to say, according to Rashi, is that like it's kula of the gravy? Or kula of berotev? Or is that like kula chutz lerotev? Okay? We don't know. Because all he said is kula berotev versus not kula berotev. But this is a case where it is kula berotev, just that only one facet is not in the rotev. So if you looked in the Beis Yosef, you found that he explains Rashi to be modeh, that in a case like that, where paneha elyonos megulos, or for Eli, paneha elyonot megulot, right? Then hakol mitzaref l'shior shishim. Okay? Because it's as if for him it's kula betocha rotev. Wait a minute. Where were you? In Beit Shemesh? Oh, then I better speak English, right? Okay. All right. Okay. I have a friend who's going to a English ulpan to improve his English so he can live in Beit Shemesh. Okay? His English isn't good enough. Okay. There are opinions in the Rishoni that Rashi would not be modeh in such a case. He would say it's not kula berotev. And you can see such an opinion brought by the Beis Yosef in the name of the Hagaos Haimonios, the Shema Smag. And as the Darkei Moshe writes, that's the opinion in his. It's a little controversial, but he reads the Mordechai that way as well. Now, the Prima Gudim paskins like the Mordechai. It's in the Mishpasot Zahav Sif Katan Beis. So if you look there, you'll see that he says that according to Rashi, if Paneha El Yonos, the only thing that's Megulos, and the drop fell in there, it's as if it's not, it's Kula Michutz Lerotev. And Ein Hakol Mitzaref. What's the whole nafkamina here? As to whether or not the piece is mutaras or not. Right? The piece of meat itself. Now, do we have a little rule of thumb that would help us how we hold la halacha? And the answer is we do. Lehilchasa anan naftinan, like the later poskim, that even if, this is very rare this is going to happen, by the way, exactly, but even if the outer facet, paneha el yonos megulos, everything is mutter, even the chaticha itself, if there's shishim in the pot, kineged ha-chalav. And where could you actually find this explicitly? So you don't have to rely on me. You can find it in the Chochmas Adam, which is cited by most poskim acharonim as reading Rashi in that way. I don't remember the klal, but it's in Tzadi Beis. I can get it and, you know, check it, but I have to look at it again. I don't remember the klal. Now, if somebody wanted to throw away the piece of meat upon which the drop fell on that outer surface, vadai kol ha'heter mutter, kol ha'yeter mutter, everything else is mutter. Okay? But Moreh HaRah should know that most poskim say that it's mutter, so you don't cause the gorei mehefsei liyisrael. Okay? Now, how about if the drop of milk, everybody with me, I have a little progression here in these cases. How about if the drop of milk, if the drop of milk fell on the piece of meat that is what? Give me the, you know.
Partially submerged.
So we said, according to Rashi, it would be as if it's completely outside the gravy, and we would asir the piece of meat. And we, originally we saw in the Prima Gaudium that we go the chumra in both directions. We take whichever of the Rishonim would take us l'chumra. So here Rashi would be sufficient cause to asir the piece of meat. What would be the chumra in considering it kikula? How about if the amount of milk that fell on the piece of meat was more than 1/60th of the full contents of the pot? Then we would say, like the ri, mitzasa tocha rotev is like kula tocha rotev, and that piece of meat would asir the entire pot. Okay? So we would follow the opinion, and this is taken right out of the Prima Gaudium, something we actually read here together, if you'll remember. Okay? Yes. Now, how about if it fell on a piece of meat that's entirely outside of the rotev? Is this good to do it this way? I mean, is this helpful? Okay, summarize it? Okay, because you see a lot of this stuff, the shitos and whatever. You've got to get a malach in it, you know, a way that you remember it concisely, okay? So how about if it fell on a piece of meat that's completely outside of the rotev? This seems simple, but I spent a lot of time going through the Sima trying to summarize it in this way. If there's shishim in the chaticha neged the chalav, then the piece is mutter. But it wasn't in the rotev. Sorry, one sec. The piece is completely outside. This is bein l'ri, bein l'rashi, it's completely out. Falls on a piece of meat, it's completely out. There's shishim in the piece of meat against the amount of milk that fell on it. It's mutter. Except for one thing. It fell on it when it wasn't in gravy. So what do you need? Kidei klipa. So where the meat milk fell on the meat, on that spot, you have to take away a kidei klipa. Okay?
Cut away
the top little layer, a fingernail's thickness. Now, according to the... Sorry?
Why don't we say that by the other one? By the one that's partially in the mefapeah? Why don't we say that they have to cut off the edge?
Because if we hold that it's mefapeah through the whole piece and it's conducted through the whole thing, then what's the problem? It's batel, there's shishim. Here, there's nothing to be to conduct it. Therefore, when you have, and it could be hot, but it's not in liquid, and therefore, when you have such a case, you have to take away, you have to cut away. If I had two hot things that were not in liquid, and they touch each other, I had cheese next to, you know, meat, then I might have to, where the part where they abutted, I'd have to cut away. Just wipe it off. Rinse it off, and that's it. Don't rinse it off in hot water, but rinse it off. Okay? Right. Now.
That's just,
yes.
You said that it's not submerged at all, and if the drop falls, then you just have to
if there was shishim in the piece. The piece is mutter, only if there's shishim. If there wasn't shishim, then the piece is aser. The piece is nevela. It's baser b'chalav.
Okay, and in the other case, when it, that you just raised where it's partially submerged.
Right.
Then you need
if we hold that partial submerging is like kula submerging, then we would say then there's shishim in the pot. I'm going to get to another place that's going to be a little bit closer to what he's asking,
so
what I'm saying.
There's shishim in the pot.
Yeah. Still got to remove the piece, right? Except, yes. No, if there was, let's say, according to both, if you hold like the Beis Yosef in Rashi, where it was Panav Megulos, right? And it fell there, and everybody agrees, even Rashi, that it's distributed through the pot, okay, then I wouldn't need, right, on that spot. I would not, okay, because it's conductive. If it's not conductive because it's outside, and this is Lugamri outside, and there's nothing to conduct it, then according to everyone, Bain Lari, Bain Larashi, it would be mutter if there's shishim, but it still require Kedei Klipa. Okay?
So not to remove the piece, but
well, it's no. We're just talking about the piece. The piece is outside. Okay, right. Okay. Now, how about if there wasn't shishim in the piece against the drop? Well, first, you want to know: was he mina'er miyad or mechasa miyad? If he was mina'er miyad, then the chaticha and all the kedera have to have shishim in order to be mevatel the milk. If they don't, the whole thing's usher. If they do, the whole thing's mutter. Okay? How about lo nier? Then the piece is usher if there's no shishim. How about if the piece is sitting on another piece that's partially submerged in gravy? If there's not shishim, then I require shishim against the whole piece. If there wasn't shishim in the piece against the drop, the milk, the first piece that it fell into, then there better be shishim against that piece of meat, or the whole pot's usher because of Hanan. Afilu behefseid merube. Now, we never yet did what hefseid merube is. I'm going to bring you a bunch of definitions and so forth. Okay? Yes?
In terms of near or low near, how does that differ from the object, just putting it in the whole
because they distributed it immediately through the whole thing, right? And it's as if it fell into the gravy.
As opposed to it fell onto the meat,
right?
And then just moving from the whole pot.
Right. Right.
As you're saying, by low near, if the piece is going to be outside, you'll see a cheese.
Well, what I'm talking about, we have a piece that's outside of the rotep still.
Right.
Right. So I'm talking about we have a piece that's outside the rotep. So first I said, there's a progression. First I said if it had shishim, then it's mutter, but you need kedei klipa. If it didn't have shishim, but you were mina'er miyad, then you go with the whole thing. Right? Okay? Then if there's shishim in the piece is mutter. If there isn't, the piece is usher. Right. And that's, by the way, the ratio of the of the Mishnah, of Tipas Chalav, right? Okay. Yes? No? Okay. How about if there wasn't shishim in the piece, and I didn't stir? The piece is usur. If there's shishim in the rest of the pot, keneged that piece, then the rest of the pot is mutter. Except I've got to be kolate where that meat touched the other meat, kidei netila. Case is that it fell on a piece that's outside the gravy, sitting on another piece that's half submerged in the gravy.
That's like every case, right?
Meaning?
I mean, how could there be a case where it's not submerged at all, or it's not sitting on another piece?
Because it could be on a piece that's on a piece that's partially submerged. Right?
Don't
make it too easy for me, right? You know, but that could be, right? Could have a mountain of them. Ran out of water, right? Okay? Adon Gabriel? We okay? All right, good. Now, we're going to get into some more complex cases now that we go further. All right? Why don't you take a minute to catch up? Now we begin to get into the complex cases. By the way, you know what? For Tzadi Beis, I didn't include really questions there. I didn't include questions in the Basar B'chalav. I really only question on the sugyas there, right? I don't think I included any. I could make these cases and make questions out of them and give them to you if you want. Okay? Yep. Okay? And you could use that as your, you know. Okay? What? Oh. Oh, really? There's one that he sometimes reads, one that he always reads, there's one he never reads.
No, I just spelled that
right. One. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Okay, are we rolling?
Rolling.
Okay. How about if we don't know which piece of meat in the pot the milk fell upon, the which the milk fell? Okay? Got to get my English back in order. Now, here's where you might ask me about Ein Mevaklin Isur Lahechila. The halacha is that immediately we should be mena'er in order to distribute the milk of through everything which is in the pot. It fell in one drop, I don't know which it is. It fell in one piece, I don't know which it is. Stir immediately. Now, why isn't this bitul iser lechatchila? Because there's a safek yemesh iser. What do I mean? Maybe the piece that it fell upon in each piece is not the piece. Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila applies only where there's vadai iser. Is there Hanan here? Except for the Ramah. I'd like to point out, remember I've made my point sometimes about Yoredeya and Iser Beheter being a cognitive act, right? Being something that's Talia Bedas, okay? Except for the Ramah, there's no Hanan if you didn't know about it. If you don't know which piece it fell upon, you don't know that that piece had Hanan, and then you then stirred and distributed it, then Hanan doesn't apply. The Ramah doesn't accept that. But why do I make a point of citing the other posts who do? Because it very nicely fits my theory about cognition in Yerideya. Okay? Yes?
Why happened immediately?
Well, because the piece becomes, otherwise the piece becomes Tanai. It became the Vela. And then Efshar L'Softo, Usher. Right? That make sense? Okay. That's what the din is. That's what ein mevatlin by definition. Ein mevatlin isur l'adkila. Not ein mevatlin safek isur l'adkila. I don't knowingly l'chatkila go out and overturn isur by using the principles of bitul. And now we get to the toughest of all the halakhas that we're going to do today. The one that raises the most amount of questions. Well, I really ran through this. I thought I was going to take much longer.
I have a question.
Let the record show that Brian was just gesticulating madly and in such a way that you would have been afraid not to stop and listen to him.
Right. Here's my question.
Yes.
Maybe I'm just coming out of the dark. I understand Aim of Atlan, Suffolk, Isser, Lechachila.
No, Aim of Atlan, Isser, Lechachila.
No, I'm sorry, I understand that the other thing wouldn't apply.
Right, right.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
What I don't understand is that if... I'm trying to remember, if it's Vela, because... The question was Hanan.
Can I re-say it?
Say it again.
Okay, I want to say the following. There are opinions among Poski that if a drop of milk fell in the forest on a piece of meat and you weren't there to see it, that the piece ain't Hanan if you then came and stirred it. That it needed for you to know that the drop of milk had fallen upon the piece in order for Nevela to have been effected.
But that's my problem. That's my problem.
You find that a difficult idea. The Ramah doesn't agree with it. But I wanted to say that remember we have a lot of times about Imlo no da bein tayim. Remember those? All those halakhas? Right? And I warned you and said that in a lot of ways I could make a case throughout all of Yerideya, which I'll do probably at one point at the end, where I can make a case throughout all of Yerideya that Isser is actually in the mind of the beholder. Right? Rather than just chemistry or science. Now, I once said this to a Talmid of Lichtenstein, and this Talmid told me that he went and said what I said to Rav Lichtenstein, and Rav Lichtenstein was extremely agitated by it. I never discussed it with Rav Lichtenstein myself, and I'd like to at some point. But I was told that it was extremely inaccurate assessment. But I have all these places where it's Talia be perception, right? Lo no da bein tayim, okay? And whether or not you require, right? And the fact of the matter is, that would explain the whole thing to you about chashivas. Why Chazal said that things that are har chashuv are not betalim. Right? Okay? Because it's talia in the mind of man.
Avoid mitzvahs and shichos kavanah.
Okay, well, I'll come back. Yes?
I'm going to ask the same question again that I mentioned yesterday. If we're going to say that Hanan depends on Das.
Rabat doesn't agree with this, so forget it.
Even according to that,
yeah.
I still understand why it has to be miyad. If it's subject rather than usher, so it's not going to have more usher if it's not miyad.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I misled you then. If you hold that svara, then the miyad doesn't apply. The Ramah says, however, miyad always applies, and therefore that svara of Hanan being talia biyadiyah doesn't apply the halacha. You're exactly right. I'm
so
sorry. I didn't understand. I'm glad you asked it again because I didn't understand what you're saying. You're saying exactly right.
So, according to Jeremiah, you did miyad because.
It always needs miyad, because otherwise Efshar L'Softo Usser comes into play. Right. Minar at the first possible time that you know about it. Now, I find Hanan violates, I think the Ramah makes more sense, because Efshar L'Softo Usser is not a perception or whatever, but I just wanted to throw that out because it accords with my other thesis, which I think generally does have play in Yerideya. Okay?
That we don't like that,
Yeah, well, we follow the Ramah there. The Ramah says that Hanan applies im lo nier miyad. I apologize, Ami. I didn't understand what you were saying, so I'm glad that you re-asked it, because I would have misled everyone. Okay? Anybody else? Spoke out of turn. Okay, now, how about if the milk was spilled on the outer wall of the pot, where the fire is not touching?
This,
this is the tough one. I know, this is a tough one. And did you see the shock there about the 61 times 60, 60 times 61? That's very tough. I'm going to try to explain it. Okay? It's a shame we didn't get to it first before you try, but no, it's better Socratically that you puzzle yourself and then maybe you'll go back and look at it and it'll make more sense. Okay? Now, the whole mibachutz thing actually runs, I think it's counterintuitive, actually runs the opposite. I would have thought if it fell on the spot where the meat, where the food isn't, makom reikon, it would be okay. But it turns out no. It's exactly the opposite. And here's the logic behind the se'ik. And then I'll get to the shach. Okay. So here we have a pot on the fire. The fire's on the bottom part. It's sitting on the fire. Okay. A drop of milk falls onto the wall of the pot. The outside wall. Okay? Falls on the outside wall. It falls not where the fire is, but on the outside wall on the side. Now, the first question is, did it fall above the line of where the food is or below the line? If it fell above the line, namely, if you were to have the drop go through the pot, remember that the metal pot conducts, okay? Cham mitzotso, cham kulo in some cases, right? Not always, but in some cases. So if it fell on the pot above the water line, let's say, I'll call it the water line as if it's like water in the pot, then that's called makom harekan. Okay? Is that what you thought? Okay. And obviously, if it fell equal to that line or below the line, that's called keneged hatafshil. It's usually tough, these kind of se'ifim, where they come from one of the Rishonim's halachic works, like the Smag, and they don't come from something in the Gemara, because it's very hard to picture that. And he's quoting like an opinion of the Smag or something. Those are always the hardest. Okay. Now, if the Kedera is still on the fire, still, and the drop is on the outer wall, kineged the ochel, either at the line or below the line. Let's say below the line. Below the horizon of the rotev, the water line. Then everything that's in the seer, that's in the pot, if it's shishin times that amount of milk, here's what you do. You pour out immediately everything that's in the pot into another pot, and you pour it away from the spot. So you tilt it so that, let's say it's on, make it a square pot, okay? It's on facet, okay? Or if it's a round pot, you take the diameter right through the diameter and you do it on the other side, right? You pour away from the place where the milk was. You don't pour over where the milk was, even though you're pouring inside, because then you'd be pouring hot kineged where the milk was on the outside, right? Okay? No, I'm talking about where it was below the line. What am I worried about? I have to spill it out all bevas achas. Why? Because I want to be certain that there is never less than shishim in the pot. Keneged halav. So Yisrael, let's say it again. I've got the pot, the drops on the outside. I have to pour the soup out into another container. I tilt it so that the spot where the milk was is up in the air. And I pour it out into another container and it's mutter. I have to pour it in bevas achad, in one, right? So I turn it over completely so it all comes out at once. That's if it's below the line. I'll get to the above the line, okay? Because I want to take one other case.
In the count of the shisha, do you count the mass of the pot as well?
The walls of the pot? No. It's a good question, which we're going to deal with in Tzadi Gimel. That's why I hesitated for a second, but no. All the ingredients. Okay? And you can ask me, then, how about bones?
Right.
Why, you know, remember back to Tzadi test. That's why you asked the question. Okay. Oh, I love when somebody links it all together. That's great. Okay? Now, reclaiming the Mechaber. We're going to have a blog. Reclaiming the Mechaber.
So glad it's a different answer.
And he won't be Mar Gavriel. He'll be just Gavriel. Okay? Now.
And I'll stop it myself here.
Yeah. Actually, I want to say, by the way, there have been some interesting things on that blog.
I can't say anything came from me.
Some well-written things on there.
I can't say I wrote anything.
And it's some very good kthira that I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, the guy, Mark Gavriel, is very
good. Yeah, very, very good.
I've never met him. He's
very good. Yeah. Okay. Now, what happens if the pot is so heavy that I can't turn it over to pour bevas achas? So the post can tell us then what you do. You quickly wash off the spot, mibachutz, right? And you immediately empty the pot away from that spot as quickly as you can. Okay? Now, how about if, here's the hard part. How about if it fell above the horizon, above the water line? Now I'll get to it, okay? No, there it's better, actually. It's better if it falls keneged, because then I know that if it's coming, if it's mifapeya through the pot, it's mifapeya in all the contents. That's the counterintuitive nature of this. I thought, gee, it fell away from the pot, I got nothing to worry about. Right? But if it fell above the water line, then with everything that's in the pot, it's usser. Because then we're chayshinan, that maybe it'll be mifapeya only to the edge of the rotev where there isn't shishim, kineged atipa, and hanan. Okay? If it didn't, it's going to, our hashash, our assumption is that this hot pot conducts through its walls. That's why we want to pour out of there as quickly as we can. Well, if it's conducting through the walls, if it isn't conducting through the walls, no problem. If it's conducting through the walls, no problem if it's conducted to a spot where the whole contents are and they're shishim, right? However, if it's not, if it's conducted through the walls at a spot which is reikan, then maybe it'll get conducted further down and not encounter all the contents, but only partial contents. And that's our chashash. I'm concerned that Makoma Rekan, the halav, will come into contact with only partial contents of the pot because it's being mifapeya through the pot from a Makoma Rekan, not from conduct with the whole contents of the pot.
So you're saying that?
You don't like the Makabu.
It's going to be Hanan by the road yard as it didn't go into the whole pot?
Yes.
Well, if it gets into the road yard, then why is it not set up to the whole pot?
Because it might be that it only goes through the walls and only has contact with the edge of the...
But normally we say that it would carry through...
Right. So it's
because it went through the walls...
That's a big bummer. This is a big bummer. Yes, it went through the walls. It might not go... Yes, from Makoma Raycon, it might only go through the walls and only come down to the edge.
Maybe below the horizon, it goes up above the horizon.
Maybe it does, but we don't know. So there's a chashash. So chashina. Okay? Now, that's the svara behind that. Shema yifapeya until a place that's samuch lerotzev, not where the rotzev is. Now, if you look at the Mechaber in Se'if Hei, we can read this in the language of the Mechaber. I'm going to read Se'if Hei as I wrote it down. Okay? Guys, you might want to get out Se'if Hei and then the Shach, because I'm going to read Se'if Hei and then turn your attention to the Shach. I think it's Sif Katan Chav. Okay. Ve'im nafla b'makom areikan. I'll wait till you find it. You got to flip through a little bit. Ve'im ifapas b'dofen haktera. Ad samoch lerotev. Kol kach she'ein shishim keneged hatipa. Hare ne'esar oso mekom haktera. Ve'im ye'are hatavshil derech makom haktera. Shenesar, Hare Yesor Atapshiel, Vizet Hakonoso, Shiyani Chenekach Velo Yigaba Ad Shetitzane. So, therefore, what do you do according to Mechaber? You can just wait until the pot cools off. Right? Okay? So, that's what I'm worried about, that it'll be Mifapeya to Samuch Lerotev. So, I just wait till it cools off. Yeah, take it off the flame, and I assume that it won't be mifapeya to the I wait till it's I take the flame off and I leave it until and I don't touch it until it be mitzvane so that I don't affect the process of, at all. Sorry, I'll come back to that. Okay, is that what the mechaber says? Right.
Yeah, right. When the drop that's above the line. So it touches, are we
going to
say it touches the whole circumference of the top edge, or it just touches the spot?
Just a spot.
So then why can't you just pour it out the other way?
Immediately?
Okay. Hey, why is it such a big deal? Just pour it out the other way, just like you pour the first case out the other way. Why don't you just pour it out the other way?
Okay.
Just wait for it to the road, just...
I'll come back to it. Okay. Right? Okay. I'll come back to it. All right? Because I just want to get to the... I'm going to start with the Se'if on Sunday then. I just want to get to the Shach. Okay? While I got you here, I want to get to the Shach. Okay? Because the Shach writes in Sif Katan Chaf, I think it is. And I wrote the language down from memory, so you better check. Follow along with me. Myre kishe'ein betavshil shishim keneged oso makom harekan. When there's not shishim in the pot, keneged that spot. Tehainu shishim pa'amim shishim ve'achas pachos me'at. The question is, where'd that number come from? 60 times a little less than 61. Kineged hatipa. Lefisha hatipa asra ad shishim. Im kein, im hatipa yesh shishim the achas pachos me'at. What the heck is the Shach writing here? Let me try to explain. Does that get the language more or less right? Okay. Tzarich shishim. We need shishim. Keneged the tifa. If there's less than shishim, even just a little bit, then the tipa is not the tailor, right? If the drop is within the dofne hakadera, then we're choshesh that perhaps there's 61 less a little bit. Right? In other words, there's one times the drop, and there's less than 60 times the drop. So what volume of the drop is there? A little less than 61. Right? There's 1 and a little less than 60. So 1 plus a little less than 60 is a little less than 61. Right? Okay? The 1 is the drop itself. Okay? So what do I have? I've got 1, the drop of milk, right? And I might have a little up to less than 60. Yeah, absolutely. Hold on. Okay? We need shishim times that amount. Because that's what wouldn't be batel. That's the shear that could not be batel. Therefore, he maintains that you need to have 60 times 61 less a little bit. Now, before we ask all our questions, okay. I find your request confusing. Let me try to figure out what I could do. Okay. We need 60 times, a little less than 61 times the drop. Because it would be usser. What's this different than other shishim? Hanan. Hanan is what's the problem. The problem is, if there was 59.9 times the drop of meat in the meat and milk in the meat contents of the pot, it wouldn't be batel. Then what would I have? Nevela. Therefore, until I have 60 times 61 less a little bit, I don't know for sure that drop of milk was batel. That's the shach's kavana here. I think that's what the shach means. It's a tough shach, but I think that's what he means.
What about now, this case makes it different from any other Hanan cases? What's the difference?
Well, I'd have to see, but, you know, the
in the first case, why did you say that?
But hold on. But we really do say that. If I had suffek whether there was shishim in the piece of meat, keneged the drop of milk, right?
Yeah.
Then I need 60 times that piece of meat. But the drop of milk was totally dissolved. If it wasn't, then I would require 60 times 61 less a little, wouldn't I? It's just that we say the drop of meat is dissolved within, it's nimoah, but otherwise I would, right? Okay, now, can I just turn your attention to? Look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Kut and Dalet and Sif Kut and Hay. He'll discuss this with far greater facility than I apparently have been able to. That's the majority of the cases in Saudi Bays. Vav Zion is just limitations of that law. And then there's Zaya, which I'm going to do in the end. I just have one more inyan to do. I'll clean this inyan up on Sunday and then do Zaya. then I'm going to go to Kaylee, okay? In Sadi Gimel, okay, which is a very easy Siman, but a very important Siman. And it goes very nicely together with Sadi Gimel and Sadi Dal. It goes very nicely together, okay? And I'm going to summarize those in sort of the same way. We have very few sugyot to do there, so that'll be pretty much easy. Okay? We're rapidly getting to the end of this. Sadi Hay is an important siman because it's not bar not. And we're going to have to understand kamenos neitam there are, and then how to apply it halakhically. So we're going to spend some good time on not bar not, and that will essentially finish us off, because Sadi Vav is just cutting the Devar Chavri, which we've already seen, right? So I'll just summarize that. And Sadi Zayin, I think, if I remember, is the bread. And Sadi Zayin I'm not going to do. That's the milchic bread. You can do that yourself. It's very short. It's nothing. So that's our path that's our path for Basar B'Chalav, okay? And then we do four shirim of Malicha, which is summarize all of Malicha in four shirim, including the Maaseh D'Rashi, which is some of the most important lumdus there. And then we'll go into Shvitah. So I see light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't think it's an approaching trade. Okay?